Welcome to Zen Internet's free monthly newsletter. For more information on this month's newsletter and a list of links for each story, or to view past issues, please visit our website at zen.co.uk/newsletter. In this month's issue, you can find out if your car is the last of its kind left in Britain. Could your printer make a chocolate bar? Will Switzerland ban PowerPoint? Is Facebook favouring the over 50s? When's the best time to tweet? How long before humanoid robots can beat your football team? And why does the UK's newest search engine have no answers? Local crime maps to add mugshots. The Home Office plans to add photographs of offenders and more details about their offences to online crime maps. The government, confirming newspaper reports, said the move would increase transparency and accountability and cited a trailblazing project in West Yorkshire that identifies criminals. Campaign group Liberty said local papers already published such details. Policing and Criminal Justice Minister Nick Herbert said, "We want to build on the success of the police.uk crime mapping website by adding more information about how offences are actually dealt with in the criminal justice system." The online crime maps for England and Wales, launched in February, allow users to see which offences have been reported on local streets by entering a postcode or street name. Check out police.uk. Amazon swallows UK's biggest online bookseller. The book depository, bookdepository.co.uk, was, and for the moment still is, Amazon's biggest and best bookselling rival in the UK and a strong competitor in several other countries. Last month, Amazon announced that it had reached agreement to buy the company, based in Gloucester since its foundation in 2004. The Book Depository claims the largest range of titles available anywhere in the world and ships to over 100 countries. The company's unique selling point is free worldwide delivery, and its price you see is all you pay mantra covers destinations from Antigua to Vietnam. Amazon and the Book Depository stand as practically the only international online bookseller brands of note in countries like Australia. In many countries, the merger will create an effective monopoly. For more details, see theregister.co.uk. Chocolate printer. Chocolate lovers may soon be able to print their own confectionery thanks to work by UK scientists. The invention, a 3D printer that uses chocolate, has been developed by University of Exeter researchers, and it prints with layers of chocolate instead of ink or plastic. Anything from a standard bar to animal shapes and letters can be produced in chocolate, and the boffins believe the machines will be popular with home users as well as manufacturers and retailers. Lead scientist Dr. Lee Ang Ha said that the next step would be to create a chocolate-orientated website. "Now we have an opportunity to combine chocolate with digital technology, including design, digital manufacturing, and social networking. Chocolate has a lot of social purpose, so our intention is to develop a community and share the designs, ideas, and experience." Read more at www.epsrc.ac.uk/news-events. Car counter. How common or how rare is the car you drive? You can find out how many cars of any make and model are running on Britain's roads at a new website cooked up by ex-BAE Systems software engineer Ollie Smith, with ingredients from the Department for Transport and the DVLA. The site is easy to use. Simply enter the make and model of the car you own to see detailed stats, including the number licensed every year from 1994 to the present day. Your vehicle could be rarer and potentially more valuable than you think. The owner offering his 2002 MG ZT V6 160 on Gumtree.com at time of writing, for example, probably didn't know that it's the last one of its kind still running in the UK. Check out harmonyleft.co.uk. Scotland's dot on the net. Campaigners are launching a bid to secure Scotland's own internet domain name. The move follows a decision by the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, to allow the creation of new website domain suffixes, which will enable companies to register brand names, example, .oxo and .marmite, and Scotland to apply for .scot. Hundreds of new top-level domain names, TLDs, are expected to be created by ICANN in the new process. There are two different kinds of TLD, country codes, CCTLD and generic GTLD. Country codes are always two letters long and are given to geographical areas listed by the International Standardization Organization, i.e. .fr for France and .de for Germany. GTLDs are at least three characters long and can be used to represent organizations, communities, and concepts, i.e. .org for organizations and .coop for cooperatives. There are currently 22 GTLDs, as well as some 250 country-level domain names, such as .uk or .de. The Scottish Government is supporting the bid to establish the .scot domain. First Minister Alex Salmond first backed the move in 2008 during a visit to the Spanish region of Catalonia, which had been granted its own .cat domain name. Read more at .scot.net. Fake goods ruling hits eBay. Across Europe, big brands complain that online auction sites are flouting trademark rights by helping users sell counterfeit goods. Top auction site eBay has been the subject of numerous claims from companies fed up with what they see as laissez-faire attitude towards the trade in counterfeit items. Last month, following nearly 2 years of submissions and deliberations, French cosmetics giant L'Oreal won a landmark European Court of Justice case against eBay, with a ruling that the company should be held liable for trademark infringement when counterfeit items are sold from its site. The court also said that eBay could be liable for trademark infringement where it promotes dubious goods by paying for sponsored links to them via Google AdWords. For more information, see guardian.co.uk/money. PowerPoint politics. There's a new political party in Switzerland, and its sole aim is to have PowerPoint outlawed. The anti-PowerPoint party says banning the application would allow people to get back to doing some real work. In the party's blog, it claims that so many government institutions use PowerPoint that about 11% of more than 4 million employees have to waste time on presentations on a regular basis. The ban might happen. Citizens can force a referendum on any subject in Switzerland. All it takes is 100,000 voters to sign a petition demanding one. Read more at techeye.net/software. RoboCup 2011. The best strikers, defenders, and midfield players in the robot football world gathered in Istanbul last month. The teams were there for the climax of the non-human soccer calendar, the RoboCup. The annual tournament aims to encourage innovation in robot building by getting roboteers to tackle all the complex problems that playing football involves. Robot designs have to incorporate basics of vision, recognizing the ball, pitch markings, and other players, as well as getting players to act as a team. All robots have to be autonomous, although they can swap information wirelessly. A team from the UK, Ed Inferno from the University of Edinburgh, attended this year, as well as entrants from several British schools who qualified for the junior competition. Established as an annual event in the 1990s, the Robo Cup was set up with the aim of creating, by 2050, a team of humanoid robots that would be capable of beating an opposition of skilled human players. Check out www.robocup2011.org. Silver Surfers flock to social networks. Social networks are enjoying record levels of traffic in Britain, according to figures from UK OM Nielsen, and it's the older generation driving most of the growth. When Twitter's UK audience increased by a third recently, topping 6 million for the first time, the biggest demographic increase was among pensioners. The number of people in this group visiting Twitter had doubled. UKOM Nielsen also found that people approaching retirement, aged between 50 and 64, were helping the growth in traffic. With a 65% increase in men over 50 visiting Twitter in May. James Smythe, general manager of UKOM, confirmed that the growth in audience had been driven primarily by the over 50s. Just a few years ago, this group may have found itself out of place on these sites. Now, on Facebook, for example, they account for more new adults visiting the site in the last 2 years than the under 50s. He added that in the UK, Facebook's audience is no longer dominated by 18 to 34-year-olds, but by their parents and grandparents. Read more at ukom.uk.net. Google tries Bing Social again. Google has launched a new social networking site in its latest attempt to take on Facebook, which now claims more than 500 million users. Google Plus allows individuals to share photos, messages and comments and integrates the company's maps and images into the service. It also aims to help users organize contacts into groups. Some analysts say Google has simply reproduced features of Facebook and added a video chat function. The company has taken several competing stabs at Facebook over the years, most recently with Google Wave and Google Buzz, but none have been popular with users. In April, Google reached an out-of-court settlement with a US policy group over its rollout of Google Buzz. The legal action claimed Google deceived users and violated its own privacy policy by automatically enrolling all Gmail users in its Buzz social network without their permission. Commenting in a Google Plus press release, the company's senior vice president of engineering said that its online sharing offerings needed a serious rethink, and it's time we got started. For more information, see googleblog.blogspot.com. No hiding place for Google users. It's bad news for anyone with a private profile on Facebook who might be hoping to have the same option on Google+. Google is changing its policy on the way it handles all user profiles and says they will no longer be hidden from view. From today, anyone with private profile related to one of Google's services, including Gmail, will have it deleted unless they switch it to public view. This makes for a significant difference between Google Plus and Facebook, where it will still be possible to keep your entire profile completely private and beyond the reach of search engines. Read more at cloudpro.co.uk/cloud-essentials. Firms warned to stay away from Google Plus. Google Plus has been getting lots of media attention in its first few weeks of life. Most reviews have been welcoming, highlighting the service's feature set, which includes a group sharing capability called Circles, a group chatting capability dubbed Hangouts and Sparks, a stream of conversation starters based on topics to discuss or follow. But there have been problems too. First, Google's newly launched Us with a plus social networking site forgot to mention that it was meant for non-business users only and had to issue an after-the-event warning that companies should stay away. Anyone ignoring the warning, as well as those already on board, including some large corporations like Ford, would be removed, Google said. Product manager Christian Oestlien did add, however, that it wouldn't be a permanent ban. He said the Google Plus team was working on creating a unique experience for businesses that includes deep analytics and the ability to connect to products like AdWords, although it wouldn't be ready for months. And it's this fact that Google wasn't prepared for businesses wanting to try its new social network that is so surprising. Lots of firms jumped in just as quickly when Google Buzz, Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare and others were launched or became popular. After all, brands like to go where their customers are, said Ben Parr at Mashable.com. Unfortunately, the customers, home users, were also having problems. A few days into the launch, they also found themselves locked out of the service when Google ran out of the space that it had allocated for registering them. For more information, see theregister.co.uk. Women dominating social sites. Confounding assumptions that it would be a boys-only club, Google Plus's total user base is one-third female, and the proportion is growing, according to new research by statistician Paul Allen, the founder of Ancestry.com. And it seems most other popular social networks are already dominated by women. Data on social networking sites collected for the Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life project shows that females account for over half of all users on MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, and a collection of other less popular social sites. Only LinkedIn defies the trend with a 2-to-1 male-dominated user base. Read more at metro.co.uk/tech. Toasted URLs. Tech-savvy pop star Lady Gaga is backing a new URL shortening and redirection service funded by her manager Troy Carter, named Bread, BRE.AD. It offers a way to cut through the noise of the 150 million tweets that are issued every day. In its simplest form, BRE.AD works identically to bit.ly and Twitter's own t.co, but users can also toast their links to make them more meaningful, according to the people behind it. Toasts are 720 by 300 pixel pop-up advertisements accompanied by a text message that appear for 5 seconds before visitors are sent onto their destination. The service is promoted as a way to endorse favorite charities and highlight worthy causes, but it can also be used as a straightforward business marketing tool and is seen as a way to monetize URL shortening that Twitter seems to have missed. Macworld calls it an irritating space to shove more ads in your face, but does give it points for providing an easier way to shorten and share links. You simply type bre.ad/ in front of the URL. For more details, see macworld.co.uk/digital-lifestyle. The best of times to tweet. As Dickens pointed out, there are the best of times and the worst of times. The author of A Tale of Two Cities didn't have to concern himself with building and maintaining a following on Twitter, but he did appreciate the marketing advantages to be gained by publishing in short bursts and building a readership that would come back for more on a regular basis. Anyone who uses Twitter as a marketing tool will want to build a healthy number of followers. They might also want to know the best time to reach them. Twiriod.com can tell you when most of your followers go online and help to choose the best times of day to tweet. Michael Gray's Grey Wolf SEO blog offers a guide to Twyriod's simple Twitter analytics and highlights the most important data provided by the free online tool. Check out wolf-hull.com/featured. What Groupon means in New Orleans. Are daily deal discount sites like Groupon and Living Social good or bad for businesses? Online money off coupon promoters have gained ground in the UK following widespread popularity in America, and it's in their home country that businesses are beginning to question their true value. Lauren Laborde tested traders' opinions in her home city of New Orleans in a column for Louisiana's Gambit magazine and a Colorado Springs independent reporter, checking local restaurants, compared their views with a survey of 150 businesses in 19 other cities that found over a third of Groupon promotions making a loss. Read more at bestofneworleans.com/gambit. Groupon in the dock on the bay. Are misleading online ads the secret to Groupon's success? And is Google implicated? A San Francisco-based bus tour operator who relies on the internet to drum up business is suing Groupon, alleging that the Deal of the Day site uses false advertising or bait-and-switch tactics to lure customers. This isn't the first time Groupon has been in court, but most previous cases involve claims that Groupon's Daily Deal gift certificates had illegal expiration dates. This time, the suit is about Groupon hurting businesses through manipulating Google's AdWords scheme, which is the search engine's company's main source of revenue. For more information, see sfbg.com. 11 million sites banned by Google. Google has removed over 11 million websites from its search engine results pages on the basis that most of them are far too spammy. The banned sites all use the domain .co.cc, which is not an officially authorized second-level domain like Britain's .co.uk or Australia's .com.au, but is used by a company based in Korea. Its .co.cc registry offers single subdomains free of charge and sells them in bulk at about £700 for 15,000, less than 5p per name. Google said it had modified its systems recently to identify bulk subdomain services that are being abused. Read more at searchengineland.co. Bing Dynasty. Microsoft has won a deal with Baidu, the Chinese search engine, to handle English language searches through its own search engine, Bing. Baidu is the leading search engine in China, with over 80% of the market. From this month, Bing should be providing results for about 10 million English language searches per day and many more in future. At present, only 30% of the Chinese population accesses the internet, a total of about 470 million users. Google pulled its internet search service out of China in 2010 after disagreements with authorities about requirements to filter out controversial search subjects such as information on pornography and anti-government activists. For more information, see multilingual-search.com. Losing to Facebook. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp was left with a 500 million plus black hole where MySpace used to be when it sold the social networking site for 35 million recently after its market leading position had been lost to Facebook. But Mr. Murdoch has not been alone in backing the wrong runner in the race for social media success. In Britain, ITV bet £175 million when it picked another market leader, Friends Reunited, in 2005 and raised only £25 million when the time came to sell it to Beano Publishers DC Thompson in 2009. Read more at fool.co.uk/news. Search Engine of the Month. Within 24 hours of Commons Select Committee, MPs interrogating News Corp media mogul Rupert Murdoch and his son James, a new search engine, inspired by the day's phone hacking Q&A session, appeared on the web. But AskMurdoch.co.uk, a spoof of the UK's Jeeves-powered Ask.com, is a deliberately evasive search tool with only a limited range of answers. Typical responses include, "I don't know anything about that," "I just don't remember," "I don't have any recollection," and "Perhaps you should ask James." Meanwhile, the shaving cream pie aimed at Rupert Murdoch during the Select Committee hearing has acquired its own Twitter account called Murdoch Cream Pie, with a bio claiming on behalf of the custard-free confection that it had been unfairly brought into this situation and protesting, "I'm innocent." Check out askmurdoch.co.uk. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll listen again next month.